Monday, 21st week, Ordinary Time 1. The first reading from the first letter to Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 and 8b to 10. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brethren beloved by God, that He has chosen you. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of man we robed among you for your sake. For not only had the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God had gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who deliver us from the wrath to come. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 23, verse 13 to 22. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither enter yourself, nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you traverse sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he become a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourself. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that had made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is all the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that make the gift sacred? So he who swear by the altar, swear by it, and by everything on it. And he who swear by the temple, swear by it, and by him who dwells in it. And he who swear by heaven, swear by the throne of God, and by him who sit upon it. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. One faith, two ways of life. Seeing Gandhi in person, the Christian missionary is standing zone at him. "Mr. Gandhi, those who quote the word of Christ often, why is it that you appear to be adamantly reject becoming his follower?" M. Gandhi replied all clear, "Oh, I don't reject your Christ. I love your Christ. It is just that so many of you Christians are so unclined to your Christ." Today's readings give a true example about two kinds of life, of those who have faith in God. In the first reading, St. Paul prayed the Thessalonian faithful, because not only they believe in Christ, but also sincerely live their life so that their good works were not only known in the regions of Macedonia and Achaia, but also extended to the regions which St. Paul preached. The opposite thing happened in the Gospel. Jesus tired of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes because they find all possible ways to defend their hypocrisy and not to do God's teaching. Second analysis. First reading. The sincere way of the Thessalonian faithful. First point. Paul testified the sincere life of the Thessalonian faithful. It might be that in all communities established by Paul, there is no community which had a virtuous life as the Thessalonian community. In the introduction of the letter, Paul only mentioned their virtuous life in general as follows: "We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." There are three important theological virtues. The Thessalonian faith was not only expressed in word, but also in deeds. Their charity was expressed by carrying each other's burden. Their hope was showed by patiently enduring while they are waiting for Christ's second glorious coming. Preaching and living the gospel requirements are not only pure words, but also related to the three important things which are: first, power, dynamis. This great now reserved only for God. His power is expressed in preaching, believing, and living what the gospel requires. Second, the Holy Spirit. For people to believe in God, the Holy Spirit must act in both the preachers and the listeners. Third, the full conviction, plebrophoria pole. St. Paul might imply the absolute faith of the believer in what the gospel contains, such as Christ, his teaching, the forgiveness, the resurrection, etc. This now is used many times in the New Testament. See Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11, chapter 10, verse 22, and Rome chapter 15, verse 29. Second point, good name, good far. Faith is the conviction of the soul which no one can see, but the expression of faith is the outside act which everyone can see. The reason why St. Paul knew the Thessalonians' faith was because of the presence from those he had contact with. As he said, you know what kind of man we roamed about to be among you for your sake. For not only had the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God had gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. The Gospel. The hypocritical way of life of the Pharisees and the scribes. Hypocrite in Greek means the one who answered. According to Hellenistic tradition, this word had a special relation to those who answered the conversations in theatrical plays. The actors, the actresses, they must play their roles according to what a play describes, no matter what their mood are. For example, they must cry while they are happy, or they must laugh while they are sad. In a war, a hypocrite does not live according to himself. A Vietnamese adage describes this kind of people as follows. Outside, full of love. Inside, full of dangerous ways to kill. An English equivalent is a honey tongue, a heart of gall. Third point. The danger of a hypocrite way. Facing trials and sufferings, the hypocrite refuses to endure sufferings by finding all kinds of reasons to protect their timid actions. One way is to hide their selfishness by good acts from outside. Jesus pointed out the hypocrisy of scribes and Pharisees as follows. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You knock the kingdom of heaven before human beings. You do not enter yourself, nor do you allow entrance to those trying to enter. They locked the door to heaven by their hypocritical way of life. how can they enter the kingdom of heaven by tediously keeping the unnecessary laws, while neglecting many important laws related to justice, mercy, and fidelity? If people also imitate them to do as such, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus also condemned them about not to be good example for the converts. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You traverse sea and land to make one convert, and when that happens, you make him a child of Gehenna twice as much as yourself. Instead of setting as good examples, they set many bad examples and taught the converts to follow their hypocrisy. Those who have just entered the church seem to be more eager than those who have been in the church many years. If they are not taught to do good, they shall be eager to do bad, as they saw in their leaders. Second, their false interpretation of the law. Scribes and Pharisees were lawmakers and very knowledgeable of the law, so they know how to interpret the law according to their intention. They can make right to be wrong and the reverse by adding or subtracting words in the law or by finding a loophole in it. One example which Jesus pointed out in this passage is their interpretation of the law. The law teaches that when one pointed to the temple and saw, he must keep his oath at all cost. But scribes and Pharisees found a way to invalidate that oath by reasoning around. They said, if one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. Jesus pointed out the falsity of their argument. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if one swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gold of the temple, one is obligated. Blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that make the gold sacred? And you say, if one swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if one swears by the gift on the altar, one is obligated. You plan one wicked writer, the gift or the altar that make the gift sacred. And Jesus concluded, one who swears by the altar, swears by it and all that is upon it. One who swears by the temple, swears by it and by him who dwells in it. One who swears by heaven, swears by the throne of God and by him who is seated on it. Application in life. The same faith could lead to the two ways of life which completely oppose each other. One is based on true faith and love, the other on the hypocritical and outside acts. people might be deceived by the hypocritical act, but God is never deceived because He fathoms all things in person's mind. We must live a sincere life before God and human beings. Amen.